ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। So today we will begin the summary of chapter 7, the middle portion of the Gita. The first portion from chapter 1 to 6, the middle portion from 7 to 12, and the last portion from 13 to 18. So this seventh chapter is entitled as Jnana Vijnana Yogaha, the Yoga of Knowledge and Wisdom. These first six chapters we had already discussed, and we said Sri Krishna discusses the whole philosophy from the individual point of view. Tvam Pada Vichara. Tattvamasi is the message given in the Upanishads, Vedanta, which is further explained in the Bhagavad Gita. The very goal as per our culture is to get back to the origin. But today the mind is filled with a lot of desires of the world. So you cannot bypass that and go to moksha, though the ultimate goal is that. Therefore, initially dharma is taught, and through dharma you contact artha and kama and take your mind beyond artha kama and then come to moksha, attain the purpose of life. This is the whole system. Ultimately, every human being who is born on earth has to realize the self within. That's the purpose. But to get there, we got to rise above the preoccupations now. So, firstly, we need to understand about the individual, ourselves. Then we need to understand the total. We got to raise our knowledge and awareness to a big picture. Because the individual contacting the world, the small, insignificant individual contacting the big world is life. So what Vedanta does, therefore, analyzes the individual, analyzes the total, and brings about the common factor and tells you that common factor, the what. Not this appearance or manifestation. And once you understand that, you don't get involved in the manifestation drama that is going around. You continue, but you don't get involved. Thus you rise. And then finally you will come to a mind where you seek the highest. So far in the first six chapters, the nature of the individual was discussed. Then the effort that the individual needs to put in was discussed, and the method of performing karma as a yoga was emphasized. So now in the middle portion, the big picture is discussed. The nature of Ishvara, the total, is discussed. And compared to the total, the insignificance of the individual is realized, whereby though we so far studied the importance of performing the action through Karma Yoga and all that, we also are taught in this particular portion that the totality blessings or anugraha is also important. Basically, if you want to put it in English words, the first six chapters action, the middle six chapters attitude, and the last six chapters awareness, you can say. If you want to remember it in 3 A's, this is all way of putting it. So that more the attitude which is positive, what you call as bhakti, devotion you have, the anugraha is drawn by you. It is not that Ishwara's anugraha is partial. It is for everyone. Like the TV channels are telecasting, it is for every TV set. But the TV set needs to be tuned in. If that TV set is tuned in, then it receives. If the TV set is not tuned in, it will not receive. So therefore, what is the nature of the total? And the individual, even though the individual effort is important, the individual also should understand the insignificance of ourselves and realize the hand of the totality. So many factors. What Shakespeare calls as the hand of divinity. There's a divinity that shapes our end, says Shakespeare. So that attitude and bhakti yoga is emphasized here. Previous karma, here bhakti. And therefore, I keep on reminding that spirituality is not about acquisition. Spirituality is about submission, sublimation. I have mentioned this before in a different context also. When there is love, there is sublimation. When there is lust, there is domination. So when the individual understands the insignificance of the ego and understands that the ego, the small circle, is part of the big circle, and the small circle is dependent on the big circle and not the other way around, then the small circle willingly, out of choice, consciously surrendering with an attitude that is bhakti. And with the bhakti, you do karma, it becomes karma yoga. And thus you keep on channelizing yourself till you come to a stage where you are ready to give yourself away. That is the final bhakti. When you come to that level of bhakti where the very bhakta is given up, merges with the Krishna. Krishna meaning the highest. It's not a personality. So then what happens? You become Brahman Ajnani. So that is the whole idea. So with action alone, everything cannot be achieved. It has to be with the bhakti. And for that, you must understand the grandeur of the total. And in the grandeur of the total, the individual, however great the achievements of that individual could be, would become very, very insignificant. So that humility will come. So this is the idea. So in this middle six chapters, this is what is discussed. So now in the chapter Jnana Vijnana Yoga, the yoga of knowledge and wisdom, there are only 30 verses. It's a small chapter. In this chapter, Swamiji has divided it into six topics. Like I said, the topics are not part of Sri Krishna's presentation. It is part of our Guru's research. And so many teachers are there. They present the same thought flow in their own way. So the topics may here and there change, but the gist will be this. So the topic number one is the first six shlokas, where when he introduces the nature of God, he introduces that nature in two aspects. And that two aspects of God or Brahman is the first topic from verse number 1 to 6. So, in the very first shloka, Sri Krishna says, O Partha, O Arjuna, you with the mind attached to me meaning, you see Swamiji's book, the me will be in capital M. Whenever the me is with capital M, what does it mean? It is talking about the Brahman, total, not the individual personality. So, by constant practice of that yoga with the higher, taking refuge in the higher, how you shall without doubt know me fully, meaning finally merge with me. So what is spirituality? It's giving a very interesting hint here. Not hint, directly is telling. Basically, shifting our attention from the lower to the higher. How will you shift the attention from the lower to the higher? Only when you get exposed to the higher, when you begin to understand that and appreciate that, then slowly your attention will shift from the lower to the higher. So he says that you do here. He is offering to the disciple, the Sishya, the Guru is offering, I am going to talk about the nature of the total now. I am shifting the gear to that level whereby you will slowly be able to take your mind to that. And once you shift your attention to the bigger picture, you will suddenly see your life turns into a positive direction and you become lighter and you move towards liberation. Now the whole problem is we have a very small perspective from ourselves. We have to change to the bigger perspective. So he says, I will declare to you in full the knowledge together with wisdom, and knowing which nothing remains to be known. Meaning, when you understand the bigger picture and finally when you merge with that, then the deeper fulfillment would have been achieved. Thereafter, there will be nothing left to be achieved. What has to be known is known. The life's goal is attained. So, he gives the introduction here to that bigger picture, to that knowledge, and says, you've got to know that. The knowledge together with wisdom. Jnanam Vishesha Jnanam. That is Vijnanam. So, what you see, when you probe little deeply, you see the unseen with your intuition. So, the Guru will explain in such a depth where if you put in a little effort, you will be able to see that unseen as almost. Remember, knowledge only the Guru can give. Wisdom you will get from your effort. No Guru can give you wisdom. Remember this. By you questioning, in the fourth chapter we studied, no? Tadvit dipranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnaninastatva darshinaha verse 34, chapter 4, we studied that. The Guru will give you the knowledge, you have the devotion, prostration, service, sab kuch hai. But along with that, the inquiry, questioning has to be there. And deeply when you reflect, you will get the wisdom. But here when Sri Krishna says, I will give knowledge together with wisdom, what it means is, I will elaborately explain, you just have to do little bit effort. You still have to do the effort. And you will get the wisdom. And he is also referring to the lower nature of Brahman as knowledge and the higher nature of Brahman as wisdom. So, what technically the words you use is apara prakriti for the lower nature, para prakriti for the higher nature of Brahman. So, Brahman beyond maya tattvam, beyond the ignorance, beyond the potential of creating this world, is called Brahman. The moment you identify, call Brahman with the potential of creating this world, what you call as Maya, that Brahman plus Maya you call as Ishvara. So therefore, the higher nature and the lower nature. Now, Brahman identifying with the potential brings about the subtle world first, and from the subtle world, the gross world comes about. That's what he says. There is mamta. The potential of not understanding mamta as mamta exists in mamta. And the individual identifying with that potential of not understanding mamta as mamta creates the misapprehended personality called Shweta. Some kind of similarities should be there. So, you misunderstand mamta as Shweta. Okay. The potential of not understanding mamta as mamta is in mamta. And you identify with that potential. Not everybody misunderstands mamta. Because not everyone identifies with that potential. Whoever identifies with that potential, not understands mamta as mamta, and brings about Shweta there. Similarly, he says, the higher nature is Brahman, and identifying with the Maya, the potential, the higher nature is the consciousness, the lower nature is the ignorance which manifests as the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, space, here subtle elements, not gross elements, and mind, intellect, ego. Bhumi, rapo, nalo, vayuhu, kambano, buddhi, evacha, ankar, all this put together is the eightfold lower nature. Then the higher nature combining with the lower nature brings about the gross world. That's all. So he says the higher nature consciousness enlivening the lower nature. What are they? Earth, water, fire, air, space, plus mind, intellect, ahankar, eightfold. All this put together is the lower nature. The consciousness identifying with the lower nature brings about the gross world, which is made up of the five gross elements. So, this is how from Brahman, Ishvara, and from Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, the subtle world, and from Hiranyagarbha, the gross world, Virat Purusha, comes about. So therefore he wants to say, this world is what the lower nature of Brahman. So when you go on analyzing and going to the essence of this world, that essence you will find is me. So that's what I told last week in the end when I concluded the 6th chapter summary. When you analyze the individual, you come to the chitta, finally consciousness, permanent factor. When you analyze the world, you come to satta. That sat and chit are the imperishable aspects which are one and the same. So then he wants to say that this entire universe is pervaded by me. The 10th chapter is in a nutshell given from verse number 8. So in first verse to sixth verse, he gives this, the higher nature and lower nature. Higher nature is the consciousness, the lower nature is this eightfold stuff. Then that Brahman consciousness pervading the lower has manifested as the world. As Shweta. It is Mamta that is manifested as Shweta. So Brahman is what is seen as the world. Now Swami Ram Tirtha beautifully explains this, which Swamiji has given in the Vedanta Treatise book, in the chapter Illusion. Now, if you analyze the world, what is the world? The world is time, space, causation. Take away time, space, causation, there is no world. Isn't it? Mamta, Shweta, Lakshmi Narayan, Pooja, everyone here is born in a particular place at a particular time to a particular set of parents. So there is space, time and causation. You take anything in the world, you cannot separate the world from time, space and causation. So what is time? When did time begin? If I ask you, what will you say? It's been going on for long. Eternal, sir. So time is eternal. Okay, what about space? Space is all-pervading. What about causation? Did the chicken come first or the egg come first? Did the seed come first or the tree come first? It will go on and on and on. Who's my father, 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 first father? It will go on. So the causation chain is endless. So time eternal, space all-pervading, causation endless. Right? What is all this in one word? Infinite. Correct? Eternal, all-pervading, endless. Infinite. And by God, Brahman, what do we mean? Again, infinite only. So what Swami Ram Tirtha says is, that infinite has mirrored itself as this world, time, space and causation. So this world is a mirror of, not mirror, reflection of that Brahman. Brahman has mirrored itself as the world. So this world is nothing but Nama Rupa. Different forms, different names of that same Brahman. Govinda Rama, Jai Jai Gopala Rama. Ekatu Rama, Jai Jai Anekatu Rama. We sing that bhajan. So what is that saying? Govinda Rama is Gopala Rama. Ekatu Rama, Anekatu Rama. So that Ekam has become Anekam. So this is discussed from verse number 7 to 11. So if you gain this higher knowledge and don't go by perception what you see and probe. See, in Tamil, there is a saying, if somebody drinks milk sitting under the palm tree, you seeing it from distance will think that he is drinking toddy. Because toddy also looks white. And he is sitting under the palm tree. So you will come to the conclusion, what? That he is drinking toddy. But he was drinking milk. And what are you giving us proof? Your eye, your perception. Are you maine dekha? I saw it myself. That fellow is drinking toddy. You will say that. Why? White color. Palm tree. You understand? All this is the thing that you are giving as a supportive evidence. So he says, like that, our senses are seeing and we are coloring ourselves to think this is some individual reality that is there and we don't see it as God. So we are colored by that Maya, ignorance, and we don't see the divinity pervading because we go by perception. But you tell the same fellow, okay, yeah, listen, you saw white color liquid that he was drinking and palm tree, theeka, all that is fine. But scrutinize it further. And when you go scrutinize it further, you will go deeper and then find what? Even though all these things are there, my perception might have told me that it looks like toddy, but it is actually milk. So this is called vijnana. Are you with me? So the knowledge which you get from your eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, mind and all that is the world. And when you, by purifying yourself through karma yoga and understanding the limitations of the senses. Now, how do I say this world is there in real? Because I am seeing. Now, the senses are part of the world. So, I am saying the best book in the world is the book that I have written. So, you are saying, you are going and telling everyone that the book that Lakshmi Narayan wrote is the best book. How are you saying? Lakshmi Narayan himself told that. What kind of a nonsensical logic is this? Lakshmi Narayan is writing one book and then he says that's the best book and you go about telling that. Why? Because he himself said that. So your eyes are seeing and saying it's real and you ask where is this eye? That is also part of the world. And number two, the room that you are sitting in, if you bring in, even if you from our standpoint, let us say quite a good size of room. If you bring in an elephant into the room, you firstly have to break the wall. And even if you break the wall and bring that elephant into it, what will happen? The room will become small from the elephant's point of view. From the ant's point of view, it's a huge infinite room. So the senses are different, interpreting differently. So how can you trust the senses? So you, therefore, what you do? You go deeper and deeper, not just going by senses, and then you get vijnanam. And for that vijnanam to come, you must have had a purified mind through the practice of karma yoga. Otherwise, it's not possible. Then you will start probing. Then with that vijnanam, you will then begin to see the divinity that is percolating in all and in everything, each and everything as the essence. So therefore the verse number 7 is a very important verse. In that sutre manigana iva, remember that. Like the beads are all tied through a thread and you are wearing that as a mala, beautiful mala. The beads are all hanging there. They are all hanging there and being supported by what? That thread, which is not seen. The thread is passing through, which is not seen. Without it, it cannot be sustained. The beads won't be possible to be in that form. But the fact that you are lost in the, a lot of people, even when they see the mala that we wear in the class, many questions that come, very few people ask, why you have to wear this mala? There are very few people. Majority question is, sir, is this chandan or tulsi kya hai? You understand? You get lost in the chandan, tulsi, color, this, that. Some people even go, is it gold mala, sir? They want to know whether this fellow is still attached to the world or not. So, the point is, you are attracted to the outside, but there is something which is deep inside, passing through and connecting. That essence is Brahman, which is splashed through all this. So, for a person who is not purified, he will see world and he will not see Brahman. When the purification happens, in the same phenomenon, he will see the Brahman percolating, supporting, as a substratum. Then for you, this entire universe is a manifestation of Brahman, which is Vishwarupa Darshana. This world is nothing but Bhagavan's Roop. So in that moment you say Bhagavan's Roop, everything is part of Bhagavan. Everything is nothing but Bhagavan. So that's what he says by next topic, which is how Brahman manifests itself from verse 7 to 11. In each and everything, when you analyze and go deeply, it will talk about, you will find out the substance, the substratum. That substratum is me. For example, earth has its own unique fragrance. So he says, I am the sweet fragrance in earth, the brilliance in fire. A thing will not be what it is without it. That thing which without it, what it cannot be, what it is now, that thing is me, he says. Therefore, he is talking this language. People get lost in that language. What do you mean by fragrance? And then they're going on smelling the earth and saying, oh, this smell is God. And then they're praying to that smell. When he says the fragrance in the earth is Bhagavan, what he's trying to say is, when you say sugar, a sugar is not sugar without the sweet. So sweet is its dharma. Without sweet, it will not be sugar. A thing will not be what it is without that essence. That essence am I. So he therefore wants to say, in every perception, you use your buddhi, subtle intellect, and go to the essence. Then you will understand that this whole world is nothing but nama rupa. And you will understand, therefore, what you will understand? The nama rupa is dependent on me. I am not dependent on nama rupa. The chair, which is nama rupa of wood, is dependent of the wood. Wood is not dependent of chair. Wood can remain without itself being made into a chair. But chair cannot come into existence without wood. So in this, satyamitya tattvam is taught. What is a satyamitya tattvam? Satyam means, in the example, wood. Mitya is the chair. Isn't it? You can break the cupboard, which is made of wood, and make a table out of it. So, the forms keep on changing, but the essence, wood, remains the same. That changeless tattvam is Brahman, which is Satya. So that is why 12th verse is a very beautiful and important verse. There is air and whatever natures that are Satvika, Rajasika and Tamasika. These know as from me alone, I am not in them, but they are in me. I can exist without them. gunas are subservient to me. I am not necessarily having to be there without, I mean, with gunas. I can remain without gunas. Brahman remains without gunas. I told you. Brahman without, see, gunas belong to Maya, the potential in Brahman. Brahman remains without Maya. But the gunas are part of Maya. The moment Brahman identifies with Maya, it manifests in three gunas. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. So he says, these gunas are dependent on me. I am not dependent on them. I am not in them. They are in me. So this 12th verse to 15th verse, the topic is, the vicious do not know or seek Brahman. So whatever Sri Krishna spoke from verse number 1 to 11 and the 12th verse, which is the beginning of this topic, whoever is deluded, deluded means what? Okay, deluded means deluded by what? By the perceptions, by the senses, by the mind, by the intellect. Right? So, that's why I gave that example. You went by the perception. That fellow is drinking milk, some white liquid. You deluded to believe through that perception, one, he's drinking toddy. So, whoever is deluded by the senses, who did not question the senses, mind and intellect, who had not purified themselves, deluded people, they are all victimized by these three gunas. Tribir gunamayai maye. This maya, which is of three gunas, very powerful, very, very powerful. You shift from Bombay to Delhi. In your family, you are interested to study Bhagavad Gita. And this is just an example. It need not be this case, it can be the other way also. Since most all of you are ladies attending this class, I am giving this example. You, the lady of the house, is interested in Bhagavad Gita class. And let us assume that your husband is interested in playing golf. And your children are interested in swimming. So now, when you shift from Mumbai to Delhi, you want to know where are Gita classes happening. Your husband wants to know which golf club I should get, become a member. Your children want to get to that particular swimming pool which is good for them. According to gunas. Isn't it? Every one of us, according to our gunas, are deluded. So deluded by these three natures, composed of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas, all this world, its majority, 100% almost, do not know me well. Do not know the truth which is pervading. They go by the surface. They don't go by the substratum. So he says, they don't understand that I am above all of them and I am independent. Which means what? Your higher nature is independent of them. Not knowing what happens, you become dependent of them and suffer. This is called samsara. This is how you get trapped in samsara. The gunas, you go after them, you get trapped. While you have the potential to be independent of them, if you focus your attention on the consciousness. But since you focus your attention upon the object, the propelled by the gunas, unquestioning, not using your intellect, you get victimized by the maya, you develop attachment, desire. Recollect what we studied in 62nd and 63rd verse of chapter 2. Where the ladder of fall was discussed, if you remember. Jayato Vishayan Pumsaha Sangaste Supa Jayate Sangatan Jayate Kamaha Kama Krodoti Jayate Rodat Bhavati Sammohaha Sammohat Vrtivibramaha Vrtibramshat Buddhinashaha Buddhinashat Pranashyati. So attachment starts, desire comes, anger comes, delusion comes, loss of knowledge, memory, intellect gone. completely caught in samsara, fully personified with dukkha. So he says, you do not know that you are independent. Now what? You have the potential to deal with this maya. Right? And we just discussed this maya gunas are small circle. Consciousness is big circle. The big circle is not dependent on the small circle. Small circle is big, dependent on the big circle. In Tamil we say, Paramasivan kaluthil irundu pambu ketadu garuda saukyama. What it means is, the snake around Shiva's neck is inquiring, Garuda, hey buddy, how are you? The fact that it is around Shiva's neck, it is emboldened to ask Garuda, hey buddy, how are you? If it is not around Lord Shiva's neck, what will happen? Garuda will finish it off. Finish the snake off. So the fact is, you therefore need to consciously identify with the higher aspect. Okay? You have to consciously identify with the higher aspect. With the help of the higher, you got to overcome the lower. This is what we've been saying from the beginning. The principle of attachment is what? You get attached to the higher, you become detached from the lower. So by studying about the higher, you identify with the higher. And when you identify with the higher, you understand what you understand. There are so many factors which are not under my control. So to all those factors, in the beginning itself, you do prayer. What you do prayer? Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. What are the factors? The factors of obstacles coming from unknown, from the known, and from within. Unknown coronavirus has come now. And the known, your own friends can call you or come and ring the bell, or the internet connection problem. These are all external known. So unknown places say challenges can come. Known places say challenges can come. And the worst kind of thing is challenge coming from within itself. Only when you sit down to study Gita or anything, the mind wants to go and do something else. So therefore, when you want to focus on the higher, there are lots of challenges that come. So what do? You bend down understanding, saying that yes, I am going to put in the effort to identify with the higher. But oh Bhagavan, you also help me. Taking care of the unknown, it's a bhav. With that bhav, when you put in the effort and identify with the higher, then the result will be that you will establish yourself in the higher. Otherwise, difficult. So the Vishyas do not know or seek Brahman. That is the topic from 12 to 15. From verse 12 to 15, what is that? Vishyas people do not know or seek Brahman. They don't know. They only go by what? Perception. Eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin, mind. That's it. They don't use the intellect and question. Therefore, they go as per the gunas and they get trapped and they suffer. But the wise people are not like that. So he says, verily this divine illusion of mine made of gunas is difficult to cross over. Those who seek me alone cross over this illusion. So, you mix karma effort with the aptitude and identify with the higher constantly. Thus, when you continue, slowly, slowly, you get out of the, power of Maya. If not, you will get trapped in Maya and you go on. So he says, people who are trapped in Maya out of ignorance running after the world. They get into doing all the evil kind of things to pursue that. And they, without knowing the truth, they completely get destroyed. They follow the path of demon. Demon means what? Devolving, not evolving. So, understand the higher nature. Question your perceptions. See the common denominator, the substratum. And try to shift your attention from the world to the higher. Put in the effort with the right bhav. Then, slowly over a period of time, since you have the effort with the right approach, you will slowly, slowly overcome the maya. Remember that example of Paramashiva's neck, snake. You got to therefore be around the neck of Paramashiva. Ego has to identify with the higher. Understand the insignificance. Not say, I can conquer. So many people have seen this cigarette and all, nothing. I am smoking now. I can conquer it whenever I want. That fellow never conquers. He doesn't understand the power of all these things. Any cigarette, also forget about all, even nail biting. You don't understand the power. It will not go that easily. So, therefore, this deluded fellows, deluded means deluded by these gunas. They don't understand Brahman. They don't seek Brahman. They only seek world. So, then they get trapped. But some people who are wise, virtuous people, they through stages, slowly, slowly, understanding your level. You can't straight away go to the gym and start lifting everything. Then you will be in big trouble. So, step by step. So, from your level, you do your bhakti. So, he brings four types of bhaktas concept here. The next topic from verse 16 to 19, the four virtuous types who worship God. God means what? Those who have turned their attention towards the higher. Now, in the beginning, even though you turned your attention to God, now you are not interested in becoming God or merging with God and all. You understand? I am not everything. There is some super power, nature, whatever you want to call it. Something is there. I am insignificant, small circle. So, as a small circle, I have certain needs. So, what do you say? You surrender to that higher and say, I am putting in effort, you also help me to achieve these small things. So, there God you submit, but God is more of a means there, not the end, in the beginning. Correct? So, in the beginning, the child doesn't understand that mother will give me food even if I don't cry. Right? Therefore, the child cries. But the child, as it grows and becomes a little bit, becomes an adult, the child doesn't have to cry. Forget adult, even teenager. Child knows that, hey, by the time I come home, my mother would have kept everything ready. Why I have to cry? I don't want to ask, nothing. So, bhakti slowly, slowly intensifies. So, initially, it will be God will be a means, not end. Then, slowly, slowly, God will become the end. You want to merge with God. So, artharti, artha, jignyasu, jnani. Four types of bhaktas. Finally, the bhakta merges with Brahman and becomes a jnani. So, therefore, initially, artharti, material wealth you are interested in. Then, artha, to get rid of the problem. When there is shoka, you want to get rid of the shoka, so you approach to God. Then, jignyasu, curiosity. Curiosity of something higher, not about the world. Then, from there, it comes to merger interest, where you are mumukshatva is key. You want to merge. Then you finally merge. So, artharti, artha, jignyasu, jnani, four virtuous types who worship God. So, you don't have to feel bad that I am seeking the finite. while seeking the finite with the right attitude and working for it, you will be blessed with the result. But the fact that you are pursuing it with the bhakti, the love for God gets intensified, the love for the objects loses its intensity. This is the idea. But here in our case, sometimes opposite happens. You understand? If it is a real approach, what will happen? The bhakti to God starts intensifying, the attachment to the object starts losing its significance. That is what he is saying. Slowly, slowly, you going around the neck of Lord Shiva, seeking the world, slowly losing the value you had kept for the world, and the value for Bhagavan goes on intensifying if you are approaching correctly. Then you are moving towards the highest. How? You begin to understand the relativity of the objects you perceive or pursue. That is the next topic. The deluded seek and gain the finite fruit. The good thing about working to get the lower with the help of Bhagavan or bhakti is not only that you get the object, but you also understand the finitude of it and become free from it. Now the same thing you pursue without bhakti, you work hard, you may get it, but you won't understand the finitude of it. Therefore what happens? Finitude. So then you don't understand that it is finite. You want more and more and more. Dil mange more continues. You go after it more and more. So that is why he is saying, with the bhakti you pursue. Now if I say, "Arey, Bhagwan will give everything. You worry, don't worry about it. You just focus and do it. Things will come." You don't understand all that now. No, I want to work. But add Bhagwan to it. Keep on adding. Then the advantage is, you are fulfilling the desires. At the same time, you understand that it is finite. But the deluded fellows, they are not taking Bhagwan's help. What they are doing is they are only fully pursuing the sense objects as an end in itself. So the deluded seek and gain finite fruit. They only want. Or even sometimes what happens, they approach Bhagavan, but their focus is more on the object, not on Bhagavan. But once you understand this, then what do you do? Why do I want this finite? Finite is only good for finite stuff, which is what Swami Ramtita says. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. Whatever cars you may have now, it's all parked in the garage. How does it matter what car and how many cars? It's all sitting there. The purpose is when you have to go to work, then you have a car. When you have to go to somebody's house, some party, something, you need the car. Now they are all sitting there. Big deal. So the point is, it is good for buying iron and gold, not for what I am looking for, that inner security, inner fulfillment. This understanding. Many people who take the help of God, but if you see that bhakti is not so much, so what happens is, they are only interested in the wealth that comes from Bhagavan. So they do everything, they do puja, kijana, but they are only interested in that. But if it's the right approach, slowly, slowly, you will drop the attachment to the finite. So therefore he says, the deluded seek and gain finite fruit. They don't understand. Swami Ramtita gives a fascinating story. He says, a king who was ruling a particular kingdom did not have a heir to the throne. So he said, he had only daughter. So he wanted a son-in-law who could be made the king to rule. So he said, I'm going to have a marathon race. From this time to this time, the race will go on. Whoever participates and comes first can marry my daughter and become the next king. And on that day, who doesn't want to become the king? Everybody came to run. There were a lot of gold bricks. Bricks made of gold, solid gold, stacked everywhere. And then these fellows, when they were participating, he announced, while running, you can also pick up as many bricks as you want, but don't come first. You, whatever bricks you collect is yours. So all these fellows started running and they started collecting bricks. They tried to collect more and more. The more bricks they collected, the less energy they had to run. Burden was so much. So one fellow said, listen, yaar, I am not going to do all this. I am going to run and become the king. He didn't collect even a single brick. He continued running. He came first, became the king. Now the secret in this is, when he became the king, what do you understand? The entire gold of the country belongs to the king only, no? Correct or not? Whole thing comes to king. Belongs to the king. Kingdom. So therefore he said, when you become one with Bhagavan, remember he already said, I am not in them. They are in me. So the world is added to you. That small infinite joy that you are getting is added in the infinite joy. But this infinite joy that you are seeking is not there in the finite. This the bhakta understands. The wise person understands. And therefore he doesn't seek the finite as an end in itself. He uses that and slowly, slowly escapes. So the deluded fellow doesn't know this. So from 20 to 25 he talks about that. The deluded seek and gain finite fruit. That's it. But the wise person, the Bhagavad Gita class members, so these wise people, they seek and gain Brahman. They only seek Brahman. They may be seen seeking the world, but they understand that is not the end of it. So thus, slowly, slowly, they shift the attention upon Brahman. That is from verse 26 to 30. In verse 26, he says, I know the past, present and future. Past, present and future. Arjuna, I know the beings of the past, present and future, but no one knows me. Which means what? The Brahman is beyond time. And all the other joys you get in the world is subjective, relative to the time. Temporarily they give you pleasure, not permanently. But reaching Brahman, you get that permanent bliss. Therefore, you need to reach that Brahman. So, the delusion of the pairs of opposites doesn't allow people to pursue. But those with the help of bhakti, pursuing, putting in the effort, they overcome that and become one with Brahman, the total Brahman. And the total Brahman, Krishna uses few words here. It is Brahman, Atma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adiyajna, Adideva, Adiyajna. Six words he uses. They attain Brahman, Atma, Karma, Adibhuta, Adideva, Adiyajna. Which is nothing but the total Brahman. Now, this, when he says, Arjuna gets a doubt, asks Krishna to explain these terms, that is the next chapter. So when he ends, he wants to say, finally, you merge with Brahman. And that Brahman is all this. The whole thing is that. Like how you are mother with reference to your daughter. Your daughter with reference to your mother. your wife with reference to your husband, your daughter-in-law with reference to your in-laws. So, like that, different names in different contexts, it is nothing but that total Brahman. So he says that individual merges with Brahman. So the long and short of it, what he is saying in this chapter is understanding Brahman, understanding the insignificance of the ego, the individuality. You seek Brahman and attain Brahman. If not, you will be seeking the world and getting going around and round in this merry-go-round of samsara. That's all. So you got to shift your attention from the lower to the higher. And when you shift your attention from the lower to the higher, it is not easy. Right? So he says, develop the right attitude. With the attitude, you will be able to deal the difficulty. See, when these people who go to Ayyappa temple, now this Ayyappa temple also is become very well known now. Even otherwise it was known, now it's well known because of this activist and all these problems. Anyway, whatever it is, in the people who go to Ayyappa temple, they do tapas for almost 40 days. On 40 days they do tapas. And then they go. You know. And they have what is called a irumudi on the head. And then they are walking towards that barefoot. So all along their thought is on Bhagavan. They keep singing, chanting, dancing and all that. And they keep going. And throughout these 40 days also a lot of prayers, pujas and all that is there every day, morning and evening. So when they go, they say, Kallum mullum kaalukku mettai. Means what? The stone and thorns on the way are all pillows for the feet. How does it become pillow? If you start analyzing, you say, what nonsense is this? How can stone and thorn become pillow? The stone and thorn become pillow when your mind is diverted to Bhagavan. After that, when you go through all this kallumullu and all that, and then you climb that 18 steps in the Sabarimala, after you climb the 18 steps and go to the mandir, when you are entering, upar kya likha hai? Tat tvam asi. That thou art. So the shift of attention from the lower to the higher will convert the pains also into what? Joy. You will learn to suffer the difficulties blissfully. Endurance. Because your attention is on the higher. If the attention is on me, then you will suffer. See, when one individual gets married to another individual, it becomes a family. If both this individual or that one individual, whichever individual that is, focuses on the higher aspect of family, to that extent the difficulties which are arising due to the personality difference or whatever will not be a problem. If it is on me, it will be a huge problem. So that me, with that huge problem, some people say, get lost and get out. Other people, with all kind of conditionings, illogical, whatever it is, they say, what to do, you have to accept, compromise, they will compromise and go. That is also wrong. The thing is sacrifice. What is that? Your attention is upon the higher family. Then the difficulties will be easily overcome. So the difficulties the Maya gives, you will be easily able to overcome. So ultimately the whole thing is trying to say here is, shift your focus of attention from the world to the divinity and start seeing the world as nothing but expression of the divinity. This world is God. That's all. This is the summary of chapter 7. Now, with this understanding, next week we will see chapter 8. Let us conclude now. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Bodhyatmanava Prakrite Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Eti Samarpayami